much for the opportunity that you gave me to be able to come and be a part of sharing God's word today. We can buy lunch if anyone wants to hear about our ministry. So you don't have to just be the one to prepare a meal for us, but we can buy lunch. And Heidi knows some very good places. So that's, you can be able to know. We would love for anyone and everyone to be able to know what we're doing, because that way you're able to pray for us as we do what God has called us to do. Also, at the back, we put a couple things for you to be able to take home. Harry, there's candy there. We put it just especially for you. So, but you can pick whatever is able to help you know more about our ministry. Especially, write down your address if you don't already receive our newsletter, so that at least you're able to know what goes on in our lives. Now, this may not be as important right now because we're here, you get to see us often and you get to ask us what is going on. But when we go to Uganda, it may be a little hard for us to be able to call or to give periodic updates. But we commit to be able to at least keep in touch via email, via newsletters. They can be mailed to you. So we would love to do that for you. This morning I shared about some of the things that are going on in Uganda. I said that in January we visited a church, and this church had this map on one of their bulletin boards. So I was very curious to find out, oh, what's going on? And as I read through the magazine that they had also put to explain what was going on the map, we realized that for the very first time, Uganda is a monitored country, and that is by Voice of the Martyrs. Now, Voice of the Martyrs normally puts out countries that are persecuted. We also, if you look through our opening slide, we always have a country we pray for every week. Those are on the watch list there because persecution is already happening there. But Uganda being put as a monitored country is very important for us to know, because that means persecution is knocking at our door. So we need to wake up and know that it's coming very soon. I don't know when, but it's actually happening. The same magazine had, there was also this map. It divides Africa in three different sections. Now, we see that the green represents Africa, the African part that is majorly Islamic. The yellow represents countries that are 10 to 50% Islamic. And then the red represents the part of Africa that actually has not been, would even be maybe less than 10 or even 5% Islamic. There is a big push to get Islam down south. But there's a problem in Africa because of the tribal wars that are going on all around, for example, Cameroon's Central Republic, Sudan, Congo, Tanzania, in Malawi, Mozambique, all the way down. It's hard for anyone to penetrate through to spread Islam. But also, the problem is Uganda is very liberal. We accept anyone. We have freedom of worship. So anyone is able to get through Uganda. So Uganda is being targeted and monitored because it's the gateway through which Islam is going to get to the south. There's so many things that are happening right now to actually prove that. I mentioned that the missionaries, when they came, they put a church, a hospital, and a school on the seven hills of Kampala, which is the capital city. But 2 years ago, Muammar Gaddafi came and put a mosque on each of the seven hills. And that was just to counteract the spread of Christianity that was going on. And to be honest, they are doing a very good job. Also in the schools, it's very evident that Islam is spreading, because they're offering finances to any student who would like to. If you turn to Islam, they'll pay for your school fees, they'll give you a job. And their aim is that the government can be flooded with Muslims, because in the 70s, when Idi Amin was there, he declared Uganda an Islamic country. But that was overturned when he was removed from his leadership. But that is the push. And the more Muslims in Uganda there are, that means that the biggest part of Africa is going to be turned Islam. So there's a great need for us. And it's at this prime time that we, Heidi and I, are going to be going back to Uganda as missionaries. We're going to be missionaries with Word of Life. And we want to make a difference in one way or another. One of the ways that we really, really want to do it is through evangelism and discipleship and also leadership training. I don't know why my thing is not working. Through leadership training. Now in Uganda, because of the background of African traditional culture, we have many gods. It's very easy to share the gospel because everyone is open. Everyone wants to know that they want a God to worship. So when you share the gospel with them, they're very receptive. Most of the time, you'll always get a yes. You'll always get someone praying to receive Christ. But the question is, what God are they receiving? So it is through discipleship that we actually get to the heart of the matter, to actually know what have they believed, what do they commit to do, because that's when they get the rude awakening that actually the God that we are presenting trumps all the other gods that they already believed. And that is when you realize the seriousness of the matter, and that is when you know that someone has either made a proper profession of faith or not. And that is what we will be doing. But also, how can you be able to partner with us? I know that prayer is one of the major ways that we would like for you guys to be able to pray for us. Pray for us in every and any way God would have you do. Just this last week, we were in Bermuda, and we had an awesome ministry. But we had asked many of you to pray for us. And I was sharing that we arrived on Saturday, and Sunday I had to speak 4 times. So when we went back to sleep, I was feeling I had a sore throat, and I thought, that was just because I was speaking too much. But then by morning, I was coughing, and I didn't know that I was going to be able to speak on Monday night. But when Monday night came, God somehow cleared my system, and I was able to clearly share God's word and even share with everyone after, because they had fellowship. And the same thing happened on Tuesday. By Wednesday is when I was feeling okay. But how can that be? I know that it's because of prayer. It's because we are sharing God's word, and God defends his word. And we're very grateful for your prayers. And we cannot belittle the fact that prayers really work. So we need your prayers. Also, we need financial support, because as Word of Life, we we are a non-profit organization and we depend on gifts from friends and churches and individuals who give gifts towards the ministry that would help us to do the ministry. And on a monthly basis, we need about $4,000. Now, all that does not go to our pockets because there are many other factors to consider that are needed. So we pray that God will be able to provide because we need these finances to be able to do our work back home in Uganda. Currently, we are at 18%, and we have seen tremendous growth. Now, 18% may seem little, but seeing how fast God has grown our support since November is such a great deal. And that's why I want to say thank you to some of you that actually give to us on a monthly basis. Thank you so much for your faithfulness, because that is what God uses for us to be able to travel to these churches, to be able to share the gospel, to also be able to share our ministry and increase our support. But also, when we go back home, that is the same that is going to be helping us reach the many churches with the gospel of Christ, reaching the many youth in Uganda with the gospel. So thank you so much. Today, since it is Easter, the Easter season, I was thinking about what kind of message should we be able to hear today. And lately I've been studying particular questions in the Bible. And one of the questions that is in line that, with the Easter message is... it's clearly shared with us in the book of Matthew. Chapter 27. And this is the question. What then shall we do with this Jesus? And before we can be able to dive in and see what God has for us, let's pray. Loving Father, we want to honor you as our God, but we know that you honor your word most of all. We pray that as it's clearly shared today, that you will use me as a vessel, but also may your word be active in our lives to change us, to be able to grow us, to know you. And may we leave this place having been changed by your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, this is a story that most of us may be able to know. And we read it in Matthew chapter 27, verses 11 all through, maybe to even 22. And it's a story when Jesus is before Pontius Pilate. And this is what it says when we read it. In verse 11 and 12, it reads, "Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' 'Yes, it is as you say.' Jesus replied, when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. So while Jesus admitted that he was the king of the Jews, he refused to answer any other accusations of the chief priests and the elders. But something happened in the following verses. In verse 13, it reads, 'Then Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?" But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor." Jesus was silent even when Pontius Pilate was asking him all these questions. He goes on to ask him in verse 15, now it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. Verse 16, at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? For he knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him this message: don't have anything to do with that innocent man. Husbands, you may need to listen to your wives because they're always right. I'm starting to learn that. Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, she said, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. Which of the two do you want me to release to you? Asked the governor. Barabbas, they answered, which prompted Pilate to ask the question, what then shall I do with Jesus? In verse 22. Pilate's question, what then shall I do with Jesus? Is a question that we cannot run away from. We shall one day stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And you know what? We will be able to answer. Hebrews 9:22 tells us that we need to be able to know what judgment we are going for. Okay? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5:22. Each one of us shall one day stand before the judgment throne of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, it also tells us that there is a judge. For the one who rejects me and does not accept my words, that very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day. So there's a judge. I mentioned earlier that in Hebrews 9:22 it says it's appointed for man to die once and then face judgment. That's one appointment that each one of us has that we have nothing to do with. It's already there, but God is going to judge us. But also he tells us that he's going to judge us by his word. And so each one of us should be asking ourselves, what then shall I do with this Jesus? And to help us answer that question today, I want you to consider a couple questions. The very first question I want you to consider is this: what has Jesus done? It's ahead. That's the very first question I want you to consider. What has Jesus offered you that you can be able to either receive him or reject him? Now, Jesus has already told us in earlier on that it is by his word that we're going to be judged. So let's see what his word says that Jesus has provided for us. Now, Jesus, first of all, has provided a chance. He has provided a chance for an abundant life filled with true peace. John chapter 10, verse 10 says that a thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That's what Jesus has provided. Jesus has provided a chance to find salvation. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, he says, "For the Son of Man comes to seek and to save that which was lost." Jesus has provided for us a chance to enjoy cleansing from sin through his blood. And in the men's Bible study, we memorized 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. Do you remember what it says? Well, it says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of all sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But immediately after that, it also tells us, 1 John chapter 1, sorry, before that, verse 7 says, "But if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." So Jesus has provided us abundant life filled with true peace. He has provided a chance for us to be saved, but he has also provided a chance for us to enjoy cleansing from our sins through his blood. But what else has Jesus done? Jesus has proclaimed the conditions. There are conditions for which we need to be able to have that which he has provided. First of all, we must believe in him. In John chapter 8 and verse 24, he says, "I told you that you would die in your sin. If you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sin." He also says in Luke chapter 13 and verse 3 that I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. We must repent of our sins as a condition for us to be able to receive what Jesus is providing. Something else which I believe is not a condition for salvation is we must confess our faith to men as well. In Matthew chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 5 verse 16, he says, "Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and be able to glorify God in heaven." So other people are able to see Christ in you, so he wants you to be able to show Christ in you to others through your works. But in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, he says, "Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven." Something interesting also in Romans chapter 10, it says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess that Jesus Christ, that you confess and are saved. So we must confess our faith to men so that others can be able to see. So Christ provided for us a chance. He proclaimed the conditions within which we are able to receive that which he has provided. But the interesting thing is that he has predetermined the alternatives. Now, it's sad to say that there are not many sermons on these conditions, especially the very first one, where we are destined. It says that if we reject him, we will die in our sin and face terrible consequences, and that is hell. I don't know when you last had a sermon going out on hell, but the Bible teaches on both hell and heaven as the two conditions within which God has predetermined us to be, and it's our choice. John chapter 8 and verse 24 says, I told you that you would die in your sin if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verses 7 to 9 says, God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled. And to us, as from heaven in a blazing fire with his powerful angels, he will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. In Revelation, it actually says, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts and idolaters and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. If you don't believe, that's where you're headed. We need to know that because that's what his word says. But the good thing is, he also predetermined that if you believe in him, you will receive everlasting life. He says, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. John chapter 5 and verse 24. We also know that John 3:16 tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. So there are two different places. You either believe or you don't. If you believe in him, you'll have eternal life with him in heaven. If you don't believe in him, you'll be in hell. Having considered what Jesus has offered, we now return to our original question. And you'll hear it many times today. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Today we have looked at some of the things that some people have tried. We looked at Pontius Pilate. One of the things that Pontius Pilate did is he allowed other people to choose for him. And even though he had the power to alter their decision, even though he knew the truth as his wife had told him, he decided to choose otherwise. And he chose Barabbas. And that was because he wanted fame. He knew he wanted the praise of the guys that were praising him as their governor. So he chose against all truth that he knew. We also may let others decide for us, because we don't want to make the decision ourselves. There are many times when, and I was guilty of this for almost 17 years, I knew I was a Christian not because of what I had believed myself, but because of my parents. I knew that I was a Christian because of my parents. So I was letting my parents decide for me that I am a Christian. But the truth is, I wasn't a Christian. I had not believed for myself that Jesus Christ is my Savior. So is that what you're going to do? You know what? There are other people, there are other decisions that happened. Another one is some in Athens simply mocked Jesus when they were presented with that. Many take this route in that they will reject Jesus and just simply mock him. When you share the gospel, many people will mock you and say all sorts of things. But they know the truth, that there is going to be one day when this word will be the yardstick by which they will be judged. Will others make the effort to decide what they should do by simply laughing? Some of them just laugh. Others postpone and say, you know what, I'll do that later. Felix, in Acts chapter 24, verse 25, did exactly the same thing. Hoping that through the delay, you are able to either not get people bombarding you with the gospel, or by postponing it, you're able to actually maybe understand better. But none of us actually knows the day when we will be able to die. So what are you going to be able to do with this Jesus? Here is something I will suggest for you. Accept his gracious offer of salvation by obeying him. And the second thing that you can also be able to do is become his disciple, committing to doing what he has commanded you to do. And three, grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus did everything for us. Now it's up to us to be able to do it. We need to either accept and obey what the Word of God has told us. And when we do, we will become his disciples. And we know that as his disciples, we ought to do the same to others, extend the same grace to others by sharing the gospel to them. But above all, what is our walk going to be like? We need to be able to walk in him, fully established in our faith. That means we need to continually read the Bible, be able to fellowship with others and be able to know what does God want us to be able to do? How can we be able to grow in our knowledge and love of God and in our service to him? Now, I want to conclude by saying two things. One, what are you going to do with Jesus that you have heard over and over today? But not just today, you have always heard about Jesus. So the question went to Pontius Pilate that day. He had a decision to make. And today, I'm posing the same question to you. What are you going to do with Jesus? We saw that Pontius Pilate decided to let others make a decision for him. A Are you going to do the same by letting others decide for you what you will do with Jesus? Are you going to, we live in a country where if you're a Christian, you're not allowed to outrightly talk about your faith. If you're a Christian, are you going to just camouflage with the world and not talk about God and not talk about the Bible and clearly share it whenever you have the opportunity to? What are you going to do with Jesus? Secondly, let us not think that we can answer this question by simply ignoring him or simply not doing anything actively against him. For Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, that he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. You know what? We need to do something about it. Jesus has given us every reason to accept him. And not just to accept him, but to obey him as our Savior. But not just to obey him, but to serve him, doing what he wants us to do. So what are you going to do with Jesus? Are you going to serve him here at church? Are you going to serve him out there in your workplaces? Are you going to, first of all, obey him by trusting him as your Savior today if you've never made that decision? So that's the question today. I'll close in prayer, but by asking you that same question. What are you going to do with Jesus today? Heavenly Father, we have heard from your word that we have a choice to make. And you say that you will judge us by your word, and your word has clearly told us what we ought to do. Father, I pray for anyone in here who actually has not trusted you as their Lord and Savior. I pray that today would be the day that they will make that decision, that they will not postpone making that decision to a later date, that they will make that decision today. That also, if we are Christians, that we will be able to show Jesus Christ in our walk, in our service, and many others will be able to see that as we serve you. And may this week be a week where we are able to not only remember your death, burial, and resurrection, but may we also truly believe what that signifies. And may we obey you and trust in you and help others understand the same. In Jesus' name I pray.